Amen. All right, well, we're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. And tonight, I'm preaching a very specific sermon. And like we've been announcing since this whole coronavirus thing started and the live stream only services, I've been taking requests of sermon topics and ideas. People have been giving me ideas of sermons they'd like to hear. And one of the requests that came in was somebody asked for a request for dating tips for Christian young ladies. And what they wrote in the comment was that a lot of times you hear preaching for young men about marriage and dating and things like that, but you don't hear a lot specifically for young ladies. And then we got several of those types of requests and people commenting saying, yeah, that's a good idea. So I decided to go ahead and do a sermon called Dating Tips for Christian Young Ladies. So I realize this is a very specific sermon, but let me just say a couple of things just by way of introduction. Number one, if you're a Christian young man listening tonight, a lot of this is going to apply to you as well. Now, some of it's not going to apply to you. Most of it, I would say, will probably apply to you as well. And maybe you're a parent tonight, and this is for you too. This is good for you to kind of know what to do, especially if you have a girl in your home. You know, in our home, we have four girls, and our girls are very young, not anywhere close to being dating age. But I'll tell you this: my wife and I have actually spoken about these things, and we've tried to plan for the future. So a lot of what I'm going to be teaching you tonight comes from conversations that we've already had in regards to that. Now, with that said, let me say this, and I've got kind of just a few disclaimers to give tonight before I get started, but let me say this. I do not have any teenagers or anybody in my home that's dating age. One of my favorite quotes in the Bible is one of the kings of Israel when he says, "Let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off." So I understand that I don't have teen-aged children in our home yet or children that are dating. So a lot of this is coming from just the Word of God. I have helped a lot of parents with their teenagers and dating. I have performed 10 weddings, which means I've also performed 10 premarital counseling seasons and things like that. So I've dealt a lot with these things, and I've thought a lot about these things. But, you know, obviously we're all learning in regards to all of these things as well. Also, I want to say this, that a lot of this sermon, it's called Dating Tips, but you need to understand that for me, I believe that the purpose of dating is marriage, and that you shouldn't even be dating if you're not ready to get married. So because of that belief, I want you to understand that this sermon's going to have a lot of dating tips, but it's going to have a lot of preparing for marriage tips as well. And because of the fact that I believe that the purpose of dating is to find someone that you're going to marry. Now, I want to begin tonight by just explaining, you know, why it's so important for a young lady. Now, it's important for every young person to find the right person for them to marry, a young man and a young lady. But I would say it's crucial, and it's especially important for a young lady to find a good spouse because of her position in that marriage. Now, if you're there in 1 Corinthians 7, look down at verse 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39, the Bible says this: the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So here the Bible tells us that, look, you, when you're a young lady and you get married, you're going to be bound to that man for the rest of your life. If you want to follow the Bible and actually do what the Bible says, you're choosing someone who the Bible says is going to be your spiritual leader for the rest of your life. And look, if you marry the wrong person, or if you marry a jerk, or if you marry someone that's going to treat you badly, hey, you're going to be stuck with that guy for the rest of your life, all right? So ladies, you need to just, you know, slow some things down when you're dating and make sure that you're making the right decision when it comes to who you're going to choose for marriage. You're there in 1 Corinthians 7. Head back one book to Romans chapter number 7, if you would. You're there in 1 Corinthians. Just head backwards. Romans chapter 7. And look at verse number 2. It's a different verse that teaches basically the same thing. Romans chapter 7 and verse 2, the Bible says this: "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." So look, you young ladies, if you're listening to this sermon online, and we've got some young ladies here, realize that when you marry someone, you're going to be stuck with that person for the rest of your life. Till death do you part, if you're trying to follow what the Bible says. So you need to be very careful in regards. You need to have a plan and be ready to choose the right spouse. Now keep your place there in Romans. We're going to come right back to it. Keep your finger there in Romans chapter number 7. And go with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. And let me just kind of explain to you, you know, a lot of the counseling that happens at Verity Baptist Church. You know, there's two major counselings that I do at Verity Baptist Church. One is premarital counseling, where I'm talking to couples before they get married, and that counseling looks a lot like this. It's me saying, are you sure you want to do this? Why are you going so fast? Why don't you slow this down? You've got time right now to think about it. You know, why don't you pray about it? Why don't you slow things down a little bit? Because once you get married, you're stuck. The other counseling I do is called marital counseling, where it's people that are already married, and I'm trying to help them. And with them, I'm saying like, no, you can't get a divorce. You have to work this out. No, you can't leave. Sometimes these couple, I'm saying, maybe you guys should take a break. And then the other couples, I'm telling, you can't take a break. All right? So I want you to understand, you know, you single, because sometimes single people, they feel like, oh, I'm getting older every day, and I'm in this panic, and I got to find out. But look, right now, you're in a good position where you can just slow things down and really think and pray and consider and make sure you're making a right decision. And look, you're going to have a pastor who's always going to be telling you, slower is better. Slow things down. No need to be so serious. You just met him 3 days ago. Why do you want to get married? You know, because the same pastor later on is going to be saying, you should have listened to me before, but now you're stuck. Let's work this out, all right? Let me help you stay married, and you can work this out, and the Holy Spirit can help you. So just realize, young people and single people, that you're in a good place to make a good decision. So don't rush things, because you will ruin things when you do. So I want to give you three thoughts in regards to dating tips, and I've got a lot of sub-points under these main headings. But let me give you the first heading. Number one is, for Christian young ladies, dating tips for Christian young ladies. Number one, prepare yourself for dating. You ought to first prepare yourself to be ready to date. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that you ought to work on yourself. Are you there in Proverbs 31? I want you to notice that in Proverbs 31, we have this famous passage of the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman is illustrated here in Proverbs 31, and we get her characteristics. And look, you young ladies that are single, that are dating age, you ought to be looking at Proverbs 31 and looking at this virtuous woman and trying to work on yourself to become like this woman. So I want you to notice what's highlighted in this passage about the virtuous woman. You say, you know, when you, Pastor, you said I need to work on myself. What does that mean? What should I be working on? Well, let me give you a few ideas. Number one, you got to develop yourself spiritually. Are you there in Proverbs 31? Look at verse 30. Proverbs 31 and verse 30, the Bible says this, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Notice, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The Bible emphasizes the fact that, look, there's nothing wrong with being beautiful and looking nice. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, Proverbs 31 talks about those things. But in the end of the day, he says, that's vain, that's empty. He says, what you want to focus on is that a woman that feareth the Lord, she's the one that's going to be praised. So young ladies that are single, that are Christian, you say, what should I be doing? You got to be preparing yourself. Well, how do I prepare myself? You ought to be working on yourself. And one thing you ought to be developing is your spiritual life. You ought to make sure that you're right with the Lord. You ought to make sure you have a walk with the Lord. You ought to make sure that you're fearing the Lord, because that's going to help you be ready for marriage. But there's another thing that's highlighted in this passage. Not only should you develop yourself spiritually, you ought to also notice there in Proverbs 31, look at verse 14. Notice what the Bible says, Proverbs 31 and verse 14. She, referring to the virtuous woman, is like the merchant's ship. Notice, she bringeth her food from afar. Notice verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat. The word meat in our King James Bible is just an older word that means food. Giveth meat, giveth food to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Something that's emphasized about this virtuous woman is that she bringeth her food from afar, and she giveth meat to her household. So, you know, you single young ladies, something you can do to be working on yourself, you ought to learn how to cook. Amen. You ought to learn how to cook actual meals. And you know, if you're living at home with a family, you ought to volunteer or have your mom help you and actually cook for your family. And maybe if you're not in that situation, you ought to be cooking and learning how to cook. Because look, you say, well, I want to date, but aren't you dating to get married? Well, if you're going to be married and you're going to have children, which that's what happens when you get married, you have children, you know, you're going to have to feed that family. So something you can do while you're single, while you're dating, is learn how to cook. Cook actual meals for your entire family. Look down at verse number 16. Now I'm going to make this point, and some of you are going to think it's a joke, all right? And it's not a joke. But something that a single young lady could do is she could learn how to shop. Now, I know people are thinking, good night. They know how to do that naturally, okay? I'm not talking about shopping for yourself, but you know, you got to learn to shop for a household. Amen. Notice there, Proverbs 31 and verse 16. Notice what it says about the virtuous woman. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. And you know, you might be thinking, oh, learn how to shop. I know how to do that. I got that down. Okay, but I'm talking about learning how to shop for an entire household. You know, I'm amazed. Sometimes I watch my wife and she plans meals. You know, we have six children. We're a family of eight. And she'll plan a week's worth of meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And she plans the meals. And then she creates a list of all the things that she's going to need to create those meals. Then she puts that list in order based on what aisles she's going to, you know, so that she can not waste her time and where the aisles are. This is, of course, before the coronavirus, of course. But, you know, where the things are in the aisles so she can go find. You know, it's actually a skill to shop for an entire household, to shop for a husband and for children. So you got to, you know, consider, you got to learn how to shop, not just for yourself, but for your entire household, and learn how to be frugal. She considered the field, the Bible says, and buy it. You got to learn how to get good deals. You got to learn how to buy the right thing. You know, you got to learn how to, and something my wife will do on her list is one ingredient that she can purchase that can be used in one or two or three different meals. Well, we're saving money there, you know, so learn to shop, all right, and that's for a household. A fourth thing you could do is learn some skills. Learn some skills. Notice there in verse 13, Proverbs 31 and verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Notice she's working with her hands. Look at verse 19. She layeth her hand to the spindle. The spindle was used for an old form of twisting together fibers to form yarn that can be used to create clothing. Notice it says, and her hands hold a distaff. That's a tool used in spinning. Here we have her making clothes. Look at verse 22, Proverbs 31, verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Here we have a lady who can create clothes, you know, and something that single young Christian ladies could learn is learn skills like sewing, you know, learn skills. And it's not just, here's an example, but learn skills that are going to help you as a homemaker, as a wife, as a mother. You know, one time, my wife, she actually, we had somebody teach her how to cut hair. And she learned how to cut hair, and you know, she cuts my hair, and she cuts the boys' hair, and we save tons of money on haircuts because she learned the skill about how to cut hair. You can learn how to bake. You can learn how to sew. You can learn how to do things and learn skills that you can bring in to the marriage that you are going to have. So you got to learn skills. You got to learn to shop for a household. You got to learn to cook. Notice verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. So she takes a skill she knows how to do. She makes these fine linens, but then she selleth it. You know, something that I think is a great idea for young Christian ladies to do is to start a stay-at-home business. You know, to start a business from home. And something that my wife and I have decided, we have decided not to allow our teens to work outside of the home, out in the world. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to try to help them start businesses from home. And for a Christian young lady especially, this is a great thing for you to do as a young person. Maybe you have some time on your hands and you can learn to do something from home, a stay-at-home business. And by the way, when you get married, you might be able to just continue to do that from home and help your husband or be a blessing and have income or whatever. So you gotta, that's something that a young Christian lady could do is start a stay-at-home business. Notice verse 27, Proverbs 31, verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. You got to learn to run a household. The Bible says she looketh well to the ways of her household. She's not being idle. She's not being lazy. She eateth not the bread of idleness, the Bible says. And look, by the way, and I've already said this, the purpose of dating is marriage. The purpose of dating is marriage. So you say, well, how do I know when I'm ready to get married? You are not ready to get married until you are ready to run a household. If you say, well, I don't know how to cook for a family. I don't know how to clean a house. I don't know how to do laundry. I don't know how to do any of these things. Then you shouldn't even be dating. You should be learning those things, because the purpose of dating is marriage. And when you get married, you need to run a household. So look, your job, Christian young lady, is to learn to run the household, learn some skills that you can use from home, learn to cook, learn to shop, do those things in order to prepare yourself for dating. Let me give you a seventh thing that we can learn here from Proverbs 31, something you could do as a young Christian lady. Proverbs 31, look at verse 17. Proverbs 31 and verse 17, the Bible says this, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. You know, that's an interesting verse to me because, you know, usually that's not what we would think of when we would think of like a verse in the Bible about a woman, that she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. But, you know, I believe that this verse is referring to the fact that she was fit, you know. And if you read Proverbs 31, you'll find that she dressed nice. The Bible says that she adorned herself nicely, that her clothes were nice. And, you know, I believe that as a Christian young lady, you ought to stay fit and look nice. Now, look, I think all of us should try to stay fit and look nice. Even if you get married, I don't believe that, oh, you know, this idea like, oh, I got married, so I can just let myself go. You know, it's so sad for your spouse. You know, it's like, now you're just going to be stuck with me, you know. And pastor's going to back me up because we're married. And I will back you up, all right, because you're married. But you ought to just have this idea like, oh, I'm married now, so I'm just going to let myself go. But especially if you're dating, I mean, especially if you're trying to attract a spouse, and this is not just young ladies. Sometimes I look at young guys and they're like, oh, I want to get married. And I'm thinking to myself, why don't you brush your hair? Why don't you take a shower? Why don't you, you know, look at you. You know, you're going to attract somebody looking that way. So look, we all ought to take some care of ourselves and try to look nice for our spouse, of course. But if you're a young person of dating age, hey, you ought to stay fit. You ought to look nice. You ought to put some effort into the way you look. Now, you don't have to turn here. I'm going to read to you out of the book of Ruth. You can stay there in Proverbs. But let me just say this, because a lot of times when we preach out of Proverbs 31, you know, usually when we're preaching out of Proverbs 31, it's like Mother's Day, right? That's a famous passage to go to on Mother's Day, Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's fine to preach. You know, when we think of the virtuous woman, we think of a married woman. We think of a mother, right? We think of those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is what the virtuous woman is in Proverbs 31. Here's what I find very interesting. In all of the Bible, there's only one woman who was ever actually called a virtuous woman. Now, in Proverbs 31, we read about a virtuous woman and the characteristics of a virtuous woman, but in the entire Bible, there's one woman that was called a virtuous woman, and here's what's interesting about her, she wasn't a mother. Here's what's interesting about her, when she's called a virtuous woman, she wasn't even married. She was actually a widow. She'd already been married, her husband had died, and she's a single lady, she had no children. The only person in the Bible ever called a virtuous woman, I'll read it for you, Ruth, chapter number 3, verse 11. This is Boaz speaking to Ruth, her future husband, and he says, "And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." And what we can learn from that is this, young Christian lady, is that you don't have to wait till you're married. You don't have to wait till you're a mother to be a virtuous woman. You could be a virtuous woman right now. In fact, the only woman in the Bible that was ever called a virtuous woman didn't even have children, wasn't even married at the time. So look, you don't have to look at Proverbs 31 as something that, oh, that's something I should do in the future. No, Proverbs 31 is something you should be trying to do right now in preparation for marriage. So you got to prepare for dating. What does that mean? Well, you got to work on yourself. What does that mean? You got to develop yourself spiritually. You got to learn how to cook and learn how to shop for a household. You got to learn some skills. You should, if you're able to, you got to start a stay-at-home business and learn to run a household and stay fit and look nice, all those things. But there's a second thing you ought to do when it comes to preparing yourself. not only should you work on yourself, but you should also, in preparation for dating, you ought to work on yourself, but you should also figure out what you want in dating. Are you there in Proverbs? Look at Proverbs 16 and look at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, the Bible says this, a man's heart deviseth his ways. Now that's referring to the fact that we as individuals can make plans. And God is all for us making plans. And notice what the Bible says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his path. And I believe the Bible teaches this, that when we do everything we can to plan out what we're going to do, then God comes along us and he directs us and he blesses us and he helps us in those endeavors. So when it comes to dating, young lady, I'm applying this verse to saying, you ought to figure out, before you start dating, you ought to figure out what is it that you're looking for. I mean, what is your ideal guy? What? And we're not talking about looks, all right? And obviously, you should be attracted to the person you married, but just as an individual, what are his characteristics? What is he like? And I'm going to come back to this later on in the sermon, but here's the things. You got to figure out what you are looking for while you're dating, and these are the two areas you need to consider. You got to consider, what are you looking for? We're talking about the ideal guy you'd like to marry, but you should also consider who you are not looking for. And who's the guy that you don't want to marry? And you ought to make up a list of what I call deal breakers. You ought to make up a list of, I'm not willing to marry a guy that, and then fill in those blanks. I don't want to marry a guy that, and then just, you know, whatever that is. I don't want to marry a guy that smokes. You know, I would agree with you. I don't want to marry a guy that has a temper. I don't want to marry a guy that doesn't believe this or doesn't think that or thinks this way. You ought to figure out, before you ever even start dating, before you ever enter into the realm of dating, you ought to figure out, you ought to work on yourself, number one. But then you also ought to figure out who you are looking for, the ideal guy, and you say, well, that's hard to figure out. Well, how about this? Who you're not looking for, the deal breakers. The things you're not, I don't want to marry a guy that does this or does that or believes this or believes that or has this going on. And you got to figure those things out, and we're going to come back to those thoughts later on in the sermon. But let me just say this. Whenever you talk to young people and you ask them to prepare, they usually, you know, are wanting to not slow down. No, I want to get ready, and I want to be ready, and I want to get married or whatever. And we say, well, why don't you slow down and prepare a little bit? Why don't you take some time and prepare yourself? Why don't you learn some skills? Why don't you work on yourself? Why don't you figure out what you're looking for and what you're not looking for? And young people often, they want to not take time to prepare and just kind of run into a relationship. But let me explain something to you. All right? And I do a lot of marriage counseling, and I try to help couples with marriage, and I'm here to help. I'm a pastor. That's what we do, and we've done a lot at Verity Baptist Church and outside of this church to help couples, and we'll continue to do that. But what I have learned over the years is that there's very few marriage problems. There's very few marriage problems that happen in a marriage. Usually what you have when you have quote-unquote marriage problems, what you usually have is single people problems that they brought into a marriage. You have single people sins that they brought into a marriage. You have single people issues that they brought into a marriage, and they become a marriage problem. So I'm trying to warn you and help you to work on yourself and make sure you find the right person that doesn't have those issues, doesn't have those problems, to help you with your future marriage. Preparation is the key. And here's the thing. I can tell you, I mean, tonight, I can tell you, I can promise you, I can sign a contract, I can take a vow before my friends and my family, and I can tell you, and I can be genuine, and I can be authentic, and I can be sincere, and I can tell you, I promise, I can stand at an altar and say, I promise before God and my friends and these witnesses that tomorrow I'm going to run a marathon. But you know, here's the truth. Tomorrow I'm not running a marathon. You know why? Because I haven't prepared to run a marathon. I can say I'm going to run a marathon. I can believe I'm going to run a marathon. I can make promises. I can sign contracts. I can take vows and say, no, I'm going to run this marathon. But I'm not going to run a marathon tomorrow because I have not prepared to run a marathon. And young people all over this country walk into a church building, stand in front of their friends and their family, and they take vows and they make plans and they sign contracts and they say, I will till death do us part, for better or worse. And they mean it and they're sincere and they fail. And it's not that they're bad people, it's just they weren't prepared to actually do what they're committing to do. So young lady, young man, I'm telling you, I need some tips for dating. Prepare. Amen. Prepare yourself. Marriage is a marathon. It's a lifelong commitment. You got to prepare yourself. You got to work on yourself. And you got to figure out, what you're looking for. So I said, number one tonight, you ought to prepare yourself. Number two, not only should you prepare yourself for dating, but you should protect yourself while dating. Amen. You got to protect yourself. Say, what are you talking about? Well, you got to protect your heart from heartbreak. You ought to protect your heart from heartbreak. The Bible says that we have to guard our heart, that we should keep our heart with all diligence. Go to Proverbs chapter number 11. There are some things that I believe you, as a Christian young lady or a Christian young man, if you're listening to this sermon, you ought to determine in your heart, there are some things you ought to do before you give your heart to anyone. Now, I like to use the terminology to give your heart. And you say, well, I don't know what that means. I'll use the worldly terminology, which I don't necessarily like to use. But the world would call it falling in love. And I don't like that terminology because, honestly, you don't fall in love, you fall into a ditch, all right? Love is a choice you make. You choose to love. You choose to love God. You choose to love your spouse. You choose to love your children. Love is a choice that we make, and the Bible teaches that. But, you know, to use a worldly term, falling in love, and I would use the term giving your heart. You know, there ought to be some things you do before you ever give your heart to anyone. And here's what I'm saying. When there's a guy that you start talking to, or even a guy that you start going on dates with, before you allow yourself to cross that line where you are in love, where you've given that individual your heart, there are some things you ought to do before that in order to protect yourself from heartbreak. Because, of course, the big thing with dating is that when it doesn't work out, there's all this heartbreak. There's all this sadness and sorrow and crying and upsetness. So you got to protect your heart from heartbreak. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, before you ever give someone your heart, before you ever fall in love, and honestly, before you ever even say, I love you to anyone, you ought to do several things. You say, what are they? Well, number one, you got to ask your parents for their advice on that individual. You got to ask your parents what they think about the individual. And you know what else you got to do? You got to ask your pastor. You got to ask your pastor's wife. I mean, you got to ask for a reference and say, hey, I'm thinking of dating this guy. What do you think? Are you there in Proverbs 11? Look at verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, the Bible says this, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. The Bible tells us in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Without counsel, Proverbs 15 verse 22, without counsel, people are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. The Bible says that there's safety, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And before you give your heart to anyone, young lady, before you fall in love or say I love you or whatever, before you even allow yourself to get to that place, you ought to protect your heart from heartbreak by asking your parents, what do you think of this individual? What do you think about this person? It's very interesting to me how oftentimes when young couples are dating, they make their parents the enemies. And you want to be careful about this. And we realize, obviously, that maybe you have parents that aren't saved and they have wrong philosophies and wrong understanding. We understand that, and you have to take those things into account. But you got to find someone who's godly, who loves the Lord, who understands what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches, and someone who loves you and cares about you. And honestly, hopefully, that's your mom and your dad. And look, no one has your back. And I try to tell our kids this. My wife and I tell our kids this. Nobody has your best interest in mind more than your mom and your dad. So you got to ask for advice. Get your parents' counsel. You got to ask your pastor and your pastor. And I realize when I say that, people, you know, often attack me for saying stuff like that. Ah, you just want to, you know, be a cult leader or whatever. And look, you don't have to ask anybody anything. But if you're wise, you'd ask the pastor. If you're wise, you'd ask the pastor's wife. And here's the thing. We're not at liberty to give everybody's information and things like that. But you might ask your pastor, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? And or you, your pastor's wife would say, what do you think about so-and-so? And they might say, if I were you, I'd stay away from him. And I'm not going to say anything else, but I'm just telling you, I don't think it's a good idea. And if you're wise, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. Where no counsel is, the people fall. And look, and sometimes pastors and pastors' wives, they don't know everything about everybody. Obviously, we understand that. Your mom and dad might not know everything about everyone, but it's not a bad idea to ask your parents for counsel. And look, someday, if some guy from another church takes interest in one of my daughters, you better believe I'm going to call the pastor of that church and say, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? And they might not know everything that's happening in that guy's life, but they're going to know this. Does he go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Does he go to soul winning? How's his tithing? Can you check his giving record? I'm going to ask those questions. I don't think there's anything wrong. And obviously, I'm not saying we should ask personal information about people's finances, but hey, where is this person at spiritually? You got to protect your heart. Before you ever give your heart, you got to protect your heart by asking your parents and your pastor, your pastor's wife, for their thoughts, for their counsel, for their recommendation. How about this? Before you give your heart, before you allow yourself to fall in love, you got to figure out his character and personality. When you start dating somebody, the whole point of dating them is to get to know them. And you ought to really get to know them before you get emotionally connected to them. Withhold your heart and your love from an individual till you've figured out, what's this person's character like? What's this person's personality like? What are they like? And I'm not saying that the first date needs to be like an interrogation, you know, session. But look, you should be trying to ask questions and get to know the individual, and you ought to watch the individual. Amen. You ought to watch, how does he treat his parents? You ought to watch, how does he treat his mom? Hey, you young ladies, you ought to be watching a young man, seeing how does he treat his mom? And you young men, you ought to be watching, how does he treat his mom? How does she treat her dad? How do they treat their siblings? How do they act around children? I mean, you're going to have children with him, right? So how do they treat children? That might give you an idea of how they're going to be with your children. Is he someone that's of low character? Is he lying to his parents? Is he sneaking around? Look, you say, oh, well, he's sneaking around, but it's you know, I know about it, but it's for me or whatever. Listen, that's the authority that God has placed upon his life. And if he's sneaking around and lying to his authority now, to his accountability now, he's going to sneak around and lie to you, the one that should be, you know, helping him stay accountable and being his helpmate. So look, you got to look at his character. How is he lying and he's sneaking around? Does he look at other girls? Does he flirt with other girls? Does that make you uncomfortable? You got to consider these things. How does he treat his possessions? Is he covetous? Is he envious? Does he have a temper? How does he treat you when you fight? How does he treat you? You got to consider all these things. Look, not after. I love him, but he has, you know, a temper and he hit me, but I love him. You did the wrong thing. Yeah, before you ever give him your heart, you got to figure out, where's this guy at? How's his character, his personality? Is he someone of integrity? Is he someone of truth? You have to figure those. Look, you got to protect your own heart by being careful who you give your heart to. So ask your parents, ask your pastor, ask your pastor's wife. Figure out his character and his personality. Number three, you ought to figure out where he stands on the deal breakers, right? You made a list of deal breakers. I'm not willing to marry someone who does this, does that, goes there, looks at that, listens to this, believes that. If you got your list of deal breakers, then look, before you give that person your heart, you better figure out, where are they on my deal breakers? Where are they on what we believe? Do we believe the same thing? And I'm always telling young people, especially when they come into premarital counseling, I know you guys are in love and you want to talk about how beautiful your eyes are, blah, blah, blah. You need to be figuring out, hey, what do you think about homeschooling? What do you think about child rearing? What do you think about finances? What do you think about the things that we're actually going to deal with in life? So figure out where he stands on the deal breakers as soon as possible. Lastly, you got to take it slow. You got to take it slow. Every time, unless it's a situation where they've already taken it slow and been responsible, I'm always telling young people, why don't you wait a year? Why don't you wait a year? A year! A year! Look, you got to take it slow. And let me just say this, and you can do whatever you want with it. But the person rushing things is usually the one that has the most to lose. The one who's rushing things is rushing things for a reason. Because they probably don't want you to realize, to see them for who they really are. So look, you gotta take it slow. And please, please, please understand this. People regret all of the time. People regret going too fast. We got married too fast. We started making these decisions too fast. They regret going too fast. You know what? No one ever regrets taking it slow. No one who ever says, why don't we wait a year? Why don't we know each other for a year before we get married? No one ever says 20 years later, they don't say, you know what, I regret waiting a year. No one says that. But you know, 20 years later, couples after couples say, you know what I regret? I regret rushing. I regret just going too fast. I regret just not slowing things down. I tell young people this all the time. If they are the will of God for your life today, they'll be the will of God for your life a year from now. They'll be the will of God for your life a month from now, 6 months from now. Slow down. Look, you're going to be stuck with this guy for the rest of your life. You might want to slow down. I don't think you should marry somebody if you haven't seen them through the four seasons. I mean, you've never even seen how they act during the Christmas season. You've never seen how they act during the birthday. You don't even know if they're going to remember your birthday. You've not even been with them that long to have had a birthday. Then you get married to somebody and say, oh, they always forget my birthday. You weren't married to them long enough to know that. You know, Mary takes just slow down to get to know someone because you're going to be stuck with them forever. And look, pastor on this side is going to say, you don't have to get married. You don't have to make this decision. You can slow down. But the same pastor on this other side is going to say, you got to stay together. We're going to work this out, all right? Let's get in it. Let's work it. God can help you. The Holy Spirit. And look, I believe that. I believe that. But if you're a young single person, just slow down. You slow down. You got to work on yourself. You got to figure out what you want. You got to protect yourself. You got to protect yourself from heartbreak. How do you do that? Well, by asking your parents and spiritual leadership in your life. By figuring out the individual's character and personality. By figuring out where they stand on the deal breakers and on the things they believe. By taking it slow. There's a second thing you got to do to protect yourself. Not only should you protect yourself from heartbreak, but you got to protect yourself from temptation. You got to protect yourself from temptation. Go to Romans chapter 13. If you kept your place there in Romans, Romans chapter 13. While you turn there, I'll read to you from Daniel chapter 1. Daniel 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And I would encourage you, young person, to make some decisions, purpose in your heart beforehand, before you're in the situation, before you're in the heat of the moment. Purpose in your heart, some things you're going to do to not defile yourself. Now, there are two things that I can see in Scripture that I think are good advice for a young person, any young person, young lady or young man. Tonight we're talking to young ladies specifically, but this applies to young men. Number one, you ought to never be alone. You should never be alone with a member of the opposite sex. Amen. And look, that's dating. If you're married, look, if you're married, you shouldn't be alone with a member of the opposite sex that you're not married to, unless it's your mom or your sister, you know, or something like that. Romans 13, look at verse 14. Romans 13 and verse 14, the Bible says this, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. The word provision means supplying resources or opportunities. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He says, look, don't give resources or opportunity to your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So what's one way to do that is just to never be alone. As a dating couple, you ought never be alone. Never be alone by yourself, in a room by yourself, in a car by yourself. That you're just setting yourself up for failure. You got to protect yourself from temptation by never being alone. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means a couple of things. I think that the majority of dating should be done in a family setting, where it's with your families there, you know, and I realize that there needs to be some time alone to be able to talk to each other and all that. I get that. But the majority of times you spend in a group setting with your family. And then when you do have some dates that are meant to be more private, where you're maybe at a restaurant and you're talking, hey, you should not be alone. You should be chaperoned. Now, let me just go ahead and make something real clear, because, you know, I preach this all the time, and when I say chaperone, and a lot of times when parents hear chaperone, I say one thing and they hear something different. And of course, you've got to make the decision for your family, and you're the one that's got to, you know, decide what's best for your family. But please understand this. When Pastor Jimenez says you ought to be chaperoned, I'm talking about being chaperoned by you, Dad, by you, Mom. I'm not talking about being chaperoned by the 9-year-old sibling. I'm not talking about being chaperoned by the 10-year-old sibling. You know, fundamental Baptist, you know, people, they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to make sure the kids are chaperoned, and then they just send some sibling with them, some young kids. Look, they need to be watched by you, Mom, and you, Dad, all right? And you say, well, that's a lot of work to go on all their dates. Well, then a lot of their dates should just be family gatherings, family dinners, family settings where you're already there. But look, you need to put in the effort to make sure to protect your daughter. So, you know, have them chaperoned. And I think that should be by parents, not kids, not peers. They're not chaperoned by their friends, okay? And you got to make your decisions. But I just want to make sure you understand where when I say chaperone, I'm talking about you, Mom, and Dad, all right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You're there in Romans. Just flip over to 1 Corinthians 7. So how do you protect yourself from temptation? You ought to never be alone. But number two, you should not touch. You should just have a no-touch policy. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 7, 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, notice what Paul says. I mean, is the Bible any clearer than this? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. All right? Just have a no-touch policy. And look, this is not talking about shaking somebody's hand, okay? Look at the context. Verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Obviously, he's saying, look, he's talking to people that are dating, a romantic involvement. But he's saying, look, if you're dating, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. You ought to have a no-touch policy. Just pretend they have coronavirus, all right? Just social distancing. Christian social dating distancing for your own protection. Amen. All right? It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to come back to it. Go back with me to the book of Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 20. And let me just say this as I finish up the second point. Young lady, you need to decide for yourself that there is some value to you. That you are valuable. I hope you have a dad that makes you feel valuable. I hope you have a mom that is teaching you to have some character and to have some self-respect. And I hope your pastor and your pastor's wife make you feel like you're of value. But young ladies, you for yourself, you need to decide that there is value to who you are. There is value to your testimony, to your character, to your purity. And by the way, this isn't just for young lady. Young man, you're listening to the sermon. You gotta decide that there's some value to your purity. There's some value to your character and your testimony. Young people ought to decide that there's value to who they are. Proverbs chapter 20 is not a verse about dating, but I think it's a verse that God puts in there that can really be applied to anything. It's a principle. Proverbs 20 and verse 14, the Bible says this, it is not, saith the buyer. And God is giving us this proverb. He's using this example that whenever someone wants to buy something, whenever they're negotiating to obtain something, they will walk up. You know, if you're going to haggle with someone and you're trying to buy something and get a good deal, here's what the buyer says. It is not. The word not means nothing. They'll walk up and they'll say, I was in Jordan, they had a lot of the shops where they didn't put prices on things. Everything was a haggle. You're supposed to haggle. When I was in Qatar, same thing. You have to haggle for everything, you know, and it was kind of part of their custom. And the way these people act, they walk up and say, that's not worth that. You got that way overpriced. It's not. It's nothing. But notice what it says. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. Oh, look what I got. I got a killer price. Look how valuable this is. But when they're trying to get something, they'll say, oh, no, it's not valuable. But then once they have it, then they boast about it. And look, young lady, and you're not for sale. I hope you're not for sale. I understand that. But the hope is this. The point is this. You got to put some value, because look, there's going to be a young guy who's going to try to negotiate with you and get and say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal if we hold hands. It's not that big of a deal if we do this. It's not that big of a deal if we sneak around your parents. It's not that big of a deal if we go in the back of this car. It's not that big of a deal if we're in the room. And they'll try to act like it's not a big deal. Hey, you got to figure out and you got to decide it is a big deal. Amen. My purity is valuable. I am valuable. Don't let them devalue you. It is not. It is not, saith the buyer. But when he's gone his way, then he boasteth. So, young lady, you got to decide for yourself. You are valuable. Don't let some guy put his grummy hands on you. You're of value. Don't let some guy use you. You are of value. You're a child of God. You're a daughter of the Lord. You got to walk with value. Amen. Realize that you're valuable. Number three, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm giving you some dating tips tonight. I said number one, you got to prepare yourself for dating. What does that mean? You got to work on yourself. But you also ought to figure out what you're looking for. I said number two, you got to protect yourself while dating. What does that mean? Well, it means you need to protect your heart from heartbreak. Before you give your heart to someone, before you fall in love, you got to ask your parents or your pastor, your pastor's wife for counsel. You got to figure out what his character's like and his personality. You got to figure out where he stands on the deal breakers and the things you believe. You got to take it slow. Then we talk about protecting yourself from temptation. That means never be alone and have a no-touch policy, a coronavirus policy for dating. You know, you got to maintain distance and don't touch me, all right? Number three is this. You got to prioritize yourself through dating. You got to prioritize yourself through dating. I asked you to go to 1 Corinthians, and I do want you to go there. We're going to go there in a minute. But actually, go with me first to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 22. Exodus. In the Old Testament, you have the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus. Let me just say a couple things in regards to prioritizing yourself through dating. And let me just say this. Single person, whether you're a young man or a young lady, we're talking to young ladies tonight, but this can apply to both. Your priority in dating should be to your father at home. And, of course, your mother. Your priority while you are single should be to the mom and the dad that you have at home. Now, I just want to show you one example. In the Bible, in God's law, when he gave a law for the nation of Israel, he actually gave fathers the authority to have veto power on who their daughters married. Notice Exodus 22, look at verse 16. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. All right, so this is a situation where a guy has to get married to this girl, and he's endowed her to be his wife. But notice verse 17. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. But he doesn't get to marry her. So notice in the Bible, the dads have the veto power to say, no, you're not going to marry that guy. No, I don't want you to marry that individual. And here's what I want you to understand. In the Old Testament, God gave veto power to fathers. And one of the biggest concerns that I often have with dating young people is that they don't set proper boundaries. And sometimes you have these dating young people and they start acting like they're married. And it's like they only ever talk to each other. They're only with each other. And they start developing these authority structures like, look, Christian young lady, you do not have to obey the young man you're dating. There's no verse that talks about obeying your boyfriend, okay? You're supposed to obey your father. He's the spiritual authority. He's the physical authority. He's the authority in your life. And look, he's the authority in your life until the day that he walks you down the aisle and he gives you away to your husband. Amen. So your priority in dating is always to your father at home. And look, you do what you want, but if you're wise, you'd give your dad veto power. If you're a smart girl, you'd give your dad, you'd give your dad. And before you start talking to someone or whatever, you just go to your dad and say, Dad, I want you to know you have veto power. If I start dating somebody and you don't like it, you don't like them, and you don't think it's a good deal, you just let me know and I'll cut it off. You don't have to do that. We don't live under Old Testament law, but if you're smart, you do it. And all I'm telling you is this, your priority in dating should be to your father at home. He is your authority till he relinquishes his authority on the day of your wedding. That's why we have the father walk the bride down the aisle. That's why the pastor asks, who gives this woman to be married to this man? That's why he responds, her mother and I. That's why at that point, the groom walks down and then the father sits down and he takes the place of the father. That's all picturing the fact that there's a transfer of authority. Now when you're married, yes, that is your spiritual leader. That's your authority. Then you need to leave father and mother and cleave unto your husband and cleave unto your wife and you become one flesh. But till then, your authority and your priority should be to your father at home. Amen. He is your spiritual authority. So look, during dating time, your priority in dating should be to your father at home. But let me say this as well. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. During dating time, your priority should not only be to your father at home, but your priority should be to your father in heaven. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 34. The Bible says there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. By the way, I like how that's worded there. It said, look, there's a difference between a wife and a virgin. I like how that's worded because it's saying this. If you're not a wife, you should be a virgin. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. Notice, the unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So look, when you get married, young lady, your priority is going to become that guy. And pleasing him and taking care of him and doing all the things that you're supposed to do as a wife. But when you're single, your priority should be your father at home and your father in heaven. And of course, even when you're married, your priority is always your father in heaven. But he puts you under the authority structure of your husband. Notice verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I might cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend, notice, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. See, young single person, you have a great opportunity as a single person to focus on God. So while you're waiting, while you're dating, while you're waiting for Mr. Right, why don't you just focus on God? And make your priority. Your father at home needs to be your priority. He's your boss. And your priority should be to your father in heaven. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 18. And let me just read this passage to you and we'll finish up. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 18, the Bible says this. Is any man called being circumcised? The word called there is referring to being called for salvation. Is any man called being circumcised? He says, did you get saved when you were circumcised? He says, let him not become uncircumcised. Now, he's being a little funny here, because you can't get, if you're circumcised, you can't get uncircumcised. It's not something you can undo. But what he's saying is this. If you were circumcised, then don't sit there and, I wish I would have never got circumcised. He says, if any man be called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Notice verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, made free, use it rather. Here's what he's saying. Are you a servant? Are you don't have the authority to leave. You've been sold into bondage. He says, are you called? Did you get saved being a servant? He says, care not for it. He said, now, if you have the ability to become free, then become free. But he says, look, if you were called being a servant, notice verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. He said, he's looking at individuals in the first century in Corinth, and he's saying, you got saved being a servant. And these servants, these bond servants would say, oh, well, I wish I had freedom. But he says, look, it doesn't matter if you were called being a servant, you're free in the Lord. Then he says this, likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Notice verse 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servant of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now, it's really interesting because you think, what in the world does this have to do with dating? Because 1 Corinthians 7 is all about dating and marriage and divorce. It's all about relationship. Then in the midst of it, he starts talking about being circumcised and not circumcised. You were saved when you were circumcised. Don't want to be uncircumcised and vice versa. If you're saved when you're a servant, don't worry about it. Don't care for it. And if you were free, then you're free to the Lord. What does this have to do with anything? Notice what he says in verse 27. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Here's what he's saying. You need to learn to be content in whatever state you're in. Amen. Single people, they're, I'm so frustrated, I want to be married. Why don't you just learn to be content in the state that God has you? Why don't you just learn to be content where God has you? Why don't you just learn to wait on the Lord? Why don't you just realize that maybe while you're waiting for the person that you're looking for, why don't you work on yourself and becoming the person you should be? Why don't you work on yourself and try to become the person that person is looking for, and work on yourself and work on your relationship with God and learn to be content? And maybe, look, you got to get to a place in your life where you say, if I'm never married, I'll be content in the Lord. If I never have children, I'll be content in the Lord. We ought not live our lives where we give God this ultimatum. I'll only be happy if I have a child. I'll only be happy if I'm married. Look, you ought to just learn to be happy. Whatsoever state I am therewith, to be content. Amen. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. While you are single, learn to be content. While you are single, learn to wait on the Lord. While you are single, learn to apply these principles that I've taught you from the Bible. Because look, especially in church life, one of the biggest problems with dating is that it gets really awkward when people break up. Look, just realize if you're dating, there's a very high possibility that you're going to break up. Most people don't just marry the first person they ever dated, ever. That happens, but it's not usual. So just realize when you're going into, but you say, well, how can I defend from that? Well, here's how you can defend from that. Protect your heart before you give it to someone. Check them out and make sure they're exactly who you think they are before you start getting too serious. Slow things down. Don't start talking about marriage when you've been dating for a few weeks. I'm talking about marriage when you've been dating. Look, do the things that I'm teaching you to do, and you'll be able to meet people and be mature and maybe even go on a date and whatever and realize, oh, this isn't the right fit, and move away and move out and not, you know, move out of that relationship. And just learn to be content in the state you're in. Because he says, look, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. And look, there's a lot of people that are married that are wishing they weren't married. Well, they need to learn to be content too. That's who they chose. You know, maybe you're listening to the sermon, you're like, ah, man, I'm married. I wish I would have heard these things. Well, look, you married who you married. That's God's will for your life. And here's what I believe. You can do what God tells you to do. Ephesians 5. You can do those things and you can have a great marriage. The Holy Spirit can help you be the husband you're supposed to be the wife. Maybe you brought baggage into your marriage. Then don't worry about it. God can help you with that. Don't sit there and seek not to be loosed when you're bound. And when you're loose from a wife, he says, seek not a wife. And he's not saying there's something wrong with seeking to be married. What he's saying is learn to be content in the state you're in. Learn to be content. Learn to be happy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. So while you're single, learn to be content. And while you're single, learn to wait upon the Lord. Let's bow our head and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to learn these principles and have these principles. And Lord, I pray you'd help young people. Lord, I realize that young people, they've got a lot going on in life and they've got a lot of emotions and things. And they've got to learn a lot of lessons, and we're going to try to help them. But Lord, I just pray that you would help every young person, whether they're a Christian young lady or a Christian young man. Lord, I pray that you would help every young person to just focus on the things we've talked about, to focus on you, to prepare themselves, to protect their hearts, Lord, to be ready to be able to find, Lord, just that when they do find that right, that person, that they'll be ready and prepared to be able to have a good, strong marriage. Lord, I pray that you would bless young people. Lord, I pray that you would help them to find the spouses that they need to marry in their lives. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen. All right.